This is a really, really good episode of the podcast. You guys can really get a lot out of this. You have to listen to the entire thing. The ending is really, really, really important. You're not going to get the full effect of the ending unless you listen to the entire thing all the way through.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Your weekly look inside Iowa State, the sports scene, pop culture, and...
You know what? Forget this. When's the last time these guys ever stayed on topic?
About anything. The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Charterhouse Real Estate is real estate redefined. Learn more about Charterhouse Real Estate on the forums of Cyclone Fanatic or charterhouseiowa.com.
It's a new beginning.
And now, hello. Please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams.
Are you not aware that I get farty and bloated with a foamy latte?
My mistake, Jacobin.
Your mistake indeed.
Mark Charter.
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted. A always B B C closing. Always be closing.
And Adam Gratum.
There is one person in every group of friends that nobody f***ing likes.
Fuckers. Well, that was dangerously...
Man, that sounded close.
That was dangerously close to saying...
We have two people sitting behind here listening, and they both thought you said the F word.
Do I need to start over?
No, we don't, because I know you actually said fuckers.
Yes.
It just came out quick.
Yeah, I totally didn't mean for it to sound that realistic.
If you're listening, if iTunes is listening, he didn't say the F word. He said fuckers.
Well, and it's common sense because it's the podcast.
It's good to have you back.
I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, you have a shaved head. I can't see you wearing a hat.
Yeah.
You got a new look.
Got my...
He's got the Jordan Spieth going on.
Got to support the St. Baldrick's.
How many times have you done that now?
4 years.
4 years.
Yeah, I love our fanatics, man. We've made almost $15,000.
Nice.
For that charity over the last 4 years.
Good job by the fanatics and by you.
Those guys are awesome.
Is it liberating to shave your head? Never done it in my life. I used to get buzz cuts when I was young, but I've never shaved my head.
It was
the
first time I did this.
Yeah.
But this is the fourth time I've done it, so it's like... And I had to do it the Iowa State-Iowa football game.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, now it's kind of just commonplace in my life.
Were you fearful the first time you did it that you'd look ugly?
No, because I wore a buzzed head when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I think I have a decently shaped head.
Some guys, let's face it, some guys look great that way and some look not great.
I don't look very good at it. Does Ashley like rubbing your bald head? Does she sit there and just play with
it? Cammy does.
Does she?
Cammy loves it.
Did she look at you weird the first time she saw it? Yeah.
On Sunday morning, so we had a babysitter Saturday night and we stayed out at the... At the Founders Pub there in Bondurant, we stayed out.
You did it up.
And when I got Cammy out of bed on Sunday morning, she's like, "What in the hell happened to you?"
Yeah, like who's daddy? Where's daddy?
Yeah, it was fun though. Man, we got a lot to talk about today though, boys. Spring game, and then I think we'll probably touch on Kobe last night. That was ridiculous.
Oh, the goat.
Yeah. Well,
Mamba out.
One of the goats.
It's a very soft drop.
Yeah,
he just put it on the court.
But just real quick, I think there's breaking news this morning. Tubby Smith's taking the Memphis job.
Damn, we're losing the best coach in the Big 12.
Jeez, so stupid.
Oh, my God. He's going the Lon Kruger route. I mean, trying to coach, about 15 different schools now? Or?
That's a good move, though. Like, in the American, like, Memphis should be in the tournament every year that league. And Tech, I mean, completely overperformed last year and was an 8 seed, you know?
Yeah.
Like, no, that's a great move.
Easier to recruit, better arena, obviously, better fan base, better area. I mean, it's a better job for sure. It just seems, I mean, poor Texas Tech, right? I mean, here you are. You take this guy who's, I don't want to say struggling at Minnesota, but he was looking for a new start. You take him down there, and he just up and bolts you like bolts.
Poor Texas Tech,
but
like
his life.
That's why, like, it's so important and to have fans that go to games.
Yeah, you think?
Because Iowa State, like on the surface, Like, Ames is not a much better place to recruit to than Lubbock. In fact, I think you could make an argument that Lubbock's better. But, like, Iowa State's fans are so awesome. It makes people want to come here.
Yep.
And, like, if Tech had fans like Iowa State, Tubby Smith isn't leaving for Memphis today. I firmly believe
And you
that.
Could say that about a lot of schools, not just Texas Tech.
Or you could say that about Oklahoma State right now. I mean, they've fallen off the face of the planet, and we'll see if they get back. But, I mean, I think that it's, we don't need to spend too much time on this, but to me, that was kind of what I took from this. It's like, this is a guy who, in 3 years, cleaned up Billy Gillespie's mess, got them to an NCAA tournament, and he's already leaving. He's just like, screw this. It's too hard down here.
He's an underrated coach. I don't think he's an elite coach. I don't think he's the Big 12 coach of the year this year by any means.
I agree.
But he's a good coach, and he's won a national championship at Kentucky. But
yeah, can you be underrated if you've won a national championship?
Yeah, because I mean, I think if I remember correctly, he won that with Patino's players, wasn't that maybe his first or second year?
The second year.
Yeah. So, I think you can be to a certain extent. Kentucky fans probably don't think he's the greatest coach. Minnesota fans don't either. But you look at his overall record, he wins 27 games almost every year. So he does a good job.
Good stuff there. Did you guys stay up?
Who are they going to hire?
Tech?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I did see...
They should hire TJ.
I did see that Chris Beard, the guy who coached Iona...
Oh, really?
Was he the Iona or the Little Rock coach? Little Rock coach.
Little Rock, yeah. I thought he already got a job.
He just took UNLV, but he is the number one candidate right now. I would say UNLV.
I was
going to
say
10.
UNLV might be a better job.
I think it is. But right now, I mean, I don't know. I would take UNLV, though.
Because Mountain West Conference is a good conference. Easier to recruit to UNLV probably.
Vegas is one of the best jobs in that league.
Yeah. You can cheat there and get away with
that's
it.
Why that's why TJ's new job, South Dakota State, that's happening today at 3. That's a good job in the sense that it's the best job in that league. It's kind of like Murray State is in down south, where it's like you lead the league in attendance. You've got a team that's ready. You've got one of the best players in that conference. It's only a freshman that you're going into coach. He's set up to win. Like he should be in the NCAA tournament next year. And that's what a lot of these up-and-comer guys look at. Because that's how you move up in the profession.
Well, I know a lot of people think that Wisconsin-Milwaukee job was better just because it's a little bit better conference. But I look at it, when you're at UW-Milwaukee, it's not only not the best job in the state, it's not even the best job in that city. Marquette's a better job.
Yeah.
You go to South Dakota State, is there a better job, a D1 school in basketball in South Dakota and South Dakota State? I'm trying to think.
No.
What was there's something to be said about
North
that.
North Dakota State, but I mean that's
a different state. But I'm saying in that area, there's something to be said about that.
I agree.
What was the Cliff Notes version of what went down at Milwaukee? Because honestly, I've been so busy this week, I haven't read all the stories. But obviously, something happened to TJ there.
So. Here's what happened. So the athletic director wanted to hire TJ. Does this sound familiar? and the
poor
president,
guy.
The chancellor, jumped in.
Yep.
Basically, that woman, she's a woman athletic director. She's done some house cleaning in that athletic department, and the majority of the casualties have been African American.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been a lot of outcry of you know the race thing.
Yep.
Shocking.
And she wanted to hire TJ. The search firm wanted to hire TJ.
Yeah,
that's who they came up with.
Yep.
And it got to the Board of Regents. Like TJ was basically told, "You're getting the job." Allison and him were there looking for homes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, the Board of Regents like won't let them. And the reports are out of Milwaukee that it was because of race. They wanted to hire. And Rob Jeter, the guy who...
Got the job.
The guy who had been there was African-American.
Yeah. He was there for like over a decade.
Yeah, I mean, I would say... 10 to 15 years.
He's there a long time.
College basketball doesn't have any type of Rooney rule, do they? Where they have to interview certain people?
No, they don't. But TJ's had, man, that's a bad break. But it's okay, though. I think the thing that sucks for him is it's not home. Milwaukee's his home. You're with your family.
Yeah.
You know, you see your nieces and nephews. Your grandkids, your kids can be with grandma and grandpa, like that type of thing. That's the human side of this.
Yeah.
However, like sheer basketball, I mean, as far as getting to an NCAA tournament next year, I think he's in a better spot now. I don't think that it's a better job than Milwaukee overall. But I will say, I mean, he set up the win now, where I don't know if that would have been the case.
I wonder what the pay Milwaukee. Difference is
I don't know,
like, was between those two jobs.
Yeah,
though.
None of that's come out, but I wouldn't think it's very, very big.
Drastic.
Yeah, and I think, frankly, for at this point in TJ's career, I don't think it's really about money. I think it's more just
getting
a good
started.
Opportunity as
getting
a head
started.
Coach. And
honestly, there's a good chance he's not going to be there more than 3-4 years.
If he goes to an NCAA tournament next year, let's just say, and then a Big 12 job opens.
Yeah.
I mean, he would be a guy who would be – I don't know if he would get it.
Yeah.
But he would be a guy who would get an interview, I would think.
Yeah.
He's been in the Big 12 long enough, and he knows the lay of the land.
No, I agree. I agree. Can we give another important update, a shout-out to Jared, because we were touching on his relationship last week, and I think
he listened to your advice.
We busted his balls pretty hard.
Yeah.
About not –
You referred to his longtime friend as a – designated slam piece.
Well, no, here's the deal.
Highly inappropriate.
I believe.
Incredibly inappropriate.
I believed, as he was describing this young lady, that she was his girlfriend. Everything he said made me think that's a girlfriend.
Yeah.
But when you don't want to call someone your girlfriend, and then you're with them long term or all the time, then what else am I supposed to think? But
I thought you were very fair with your analysis.
I think it was
a little bold.
I think I was fair. I've been known for being bold before.
And it kind of came out of nowhere, the designated slam piece. It was just bam, right there.
But he proved me wrong that she's not a designated slam piece by making it official on Twitter this past weekend.
Yeah, he went to Chicago.
They're now in an official relationship.
Now, I heard this through sources that his girlfriend listened to the podcast.
She did.
And she was she was less than thrilled that that's how she's being perceived in the internet world.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I don't blame her.
So now, I think as I'm peeling off layers of this onion, my question is, did Jared ask her to be official because of his heart, or was he pressured because the girlfriend does not want to be thought of as the quote designated slam piece throughout the Cyclone Nation?
There's probably a little bit of truth to both, but I sat here with the young man last week and looked in his eyes, and I could I could see that he cares for her.
Yeah, there's definitely love.
Yeah, he wasn't winking at us as he was saying he liked her and stuff, you know. So
yeah.
Hey guys, yeah, no, she's great. And then
he seemed really uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He pulled an Adam Gray. He started getting a little red.
He's still young.
He's like, I'm not answering that. You could tell he was very nervous.
He was nervous. And I'm guessing he was nervous, too. I hear he got down on a knee, and he did give her a promise ring when asking to be a girlfriend. sources tell me.
Source.
I promise that I'll tell people that you are my girlfriend, and here's the ring. So, no, it's just like when people are clearly together and they're not willing to say they're together. I don't get it, you know?
You got to leave that door open, though. I mean, Jared's a good-looking young man. I mean, he can...
Why do you got to leave the door open?
I'm just saying.
Why be ambiguous, you know?
He's 21 now, right?
He's a man.
Julie and I started dating when I was 21. I knew right then.
When people ask Gray
you
if he's married, he's not like,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we started dating when I was like 22, 23.
Yeah, I mean,
like
it's not that far off.
No, it's really not.
And you know, when you know, you know.
Well, never mind. I don't need to get into my deal.
Never mind.
No, it's good for Jared. I'm happy for the young lad. He's going to be on our trivia team on Saturday, Mark.
I don't know why you're having Jared on. He's going to bring you nothing.
I don't care about winning, though. That's the thing. Okay. I want people who want to have a good time. That's my deal.
Charter doesn't like to hear that.
Charter's going to be drinking milk while everybody else is chugging Busch Lights.
You guys
got any whole milk over there?
That's not true. I was there last year. I didn't see any milk anywhere.
You had like one beer.
That is untrue.
You're such a dork.
I believe, and my wife would be able to corroborate this, although she's not here at the moment, that she drove home last year. So I think I had, and that's rare. That's only if I've had too many. So I think she drove home.
She'll drive home.
So you had
again.
What, three beers?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you going to get home this year?
I'm going to drive home drunk, obviously, all the way back to Ankeny for Rams.
Is it true that you emailed Marissa, who gets this whole Science House trivia, requesting that milk could be present this year? Is that a true story?
Can't confirm nor deny that, but, you know, like, milk's good for you. You know?
Yeah.
I heard that whole milk and by the way, did you text
Adam's
me the other day?
Go on his whole health thing.
No.
I'm just telling you.
Did you text me the other day that Dr. Oz was on TV saying whole milk's the best type of milk to drink?
Yes.
And also, it prevents diabetes and all sorts of good stuff.
Diabetes?
Yeah, diabetes. Wilfred Brimley here to talk about diabetes. I love it.
Charter's, he's known what everyone else has been trying to, you know, you think skim milk's the best, but it's not. Charter knows the whole time.
I am totally willing, by the way, to drink beer and have fun, but at the same time, I want to get a few questions right. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't want to be last place. It's public. They show it up on the board. They show the scores after every round.
I actually take pride in Cyclone Fanatic being like one of the bottom five teams every year.
That's nothing to take pride in.
We drink more than the rest.
So would you rather finish 60th? I mean, it's just as meaningless.
What did we finish last year? It was decent.
Mark, I'm really having second thoughts on inviting you. Why do you care so much? Like, that's the problem.
Because I'm a competitor.
Who cares? It's Size House of Trivia. It's a bunch of dorky trivia questions.
We need to do something
that only nerds know.
Fine. If you're not going to do well in trivia, then at least compete with the tables next to you that are doing like stacked cup pyramids every time they finish a beer.
That's not. Now you're speaking my language.
You know, we got to do something well. I don't think that's too much to ask.
Now you're speaking my language. Like a lot of those trivia questions, it's like, who the hell knows this stuff?
Old people.
Yeah, it's like
a lot of the questions.
Old people who don't really have a life anymore. That's the people who know a lot of that crap.
Well, come on, now you're offending people.
Well, sometimes the truth hurts.
He just described to a T my father. You know, my father's 67 years old, and doesn't mean
I don't like your father. It's just there's a reason he knows all that crap
because he was alive during it. That's why. That's why old people are good at trivia. They were alive during those times.
Have you met Mark's dad?
I did. I met your dad. He came to one of our events one time.
You met Jim. Yeah. Yeah.
Fine fellow.
Yeah.
He's just as nice as your father. Not as much of a close talker as your dad is.
Yeah, dad's a close talker. Yeah.
You know?
He loves people.
Oh, I can tell.
Your dad's the best.
Yeah, I can tell.
He's the best.
Hey, who else is the best at the performance concrete game is our guy McKinley.
McKinley. Just got a call from McKinley. He's joining us.
Is he?
Saturday for the tailgate party and to go into the game.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
McKinley's the man. Now, we went down to his warehouse at Performance Concrete Polishing a couple weeks ago, and I didn't really understand what he did until I got there. We talked about it a little bit. There's a couple of Fanatics who have sent me pictures of some work.
Oh, really?
That McKinley has done. It's fantastic.
So he's going to be doing
some garages.
Yeah.
All that type of stuff.
He's going to be doing my garage, but he's so busy right now that
the Fanatics are just blowing up his phone.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those. Once he slows down and it might not ever happen, then he's coming over and he's going to do my garage.
Okay.
I'm not a professional like you guys are at live reads, but here's the way to sum this up. If you want to polish a turd, because let's face it, concrete is ugly.
Yeah.
It's a turd. Who cares? It's ugly.
Yeah.
It's a turd in your house, you know, and if you want to make it look good and you want to polish that turd, this is what you do.
You should encourage some of your charter house clients, like, hey, dude, that concrete is ugly as sin.
Yep.
Here's my guy McKinley.
Yep. I've got a few of those clients, and I'm sure at some point we'll do that.
I got to talk to McKinley about this on Saturday. I want to do in my backyard a patio, you know, with the it's not like a sunroom, but it's this built thing with a roof over it, but it's kind of a roof. And I want concrete under it, polished concrete from Performance Concrete Polishing.
With the big Iowa State logo in the middle?
If he wants to do that, it'd be awesome.
Like George Strait's face.
Well, I want some shade for Cameron to be able to play in because our backyard is facing, like, in the afternoons, it just beats down on
facing the west, just like ours is,
So I got to pick his brain about that. The spring game. Mark, you're not going to go because you don't support Iowa State Athletics.
You might go.
Nah, I'm on the fence.
I'm excited about the spring game. I think it's going to be a fun day.
I'm on the fence.
You know me. I always enjoy it because I'm kind of a dork.
Gray's going to be like, yeah, that third string linebacker, his 40 speed looks faster than it did two years ago.
You should see that guy cover sideline to sideline.
I can see Gray watching the spring game with a clipboard and a pen taking
no,
notes.
No, I do take the roster, and I make sure and check and see which players stand out to me. And
Lazard is not playing, correct?
Nope. But that's fine because I don't go there to watch
Lazard. Yeah, what do you need to see Lazard.
Yeah, you know what you're getting on him. I like to see the redshirt freshmen or sophomores you haven't seen before.
Yeah.
See which one of those guys stand out.
Here's the kid to watch. Matt Campbell told me this on KXNO earlier this week. DeAndre Payne, the defensive back.
Oh, yeah.
He told me of any of these like guys to like just keep an eye on, that's the kid.
Is he better than Cotton Balls? That's what I want to know. Cotton Balls is my man.
Different positions.
He's defensive back.
He's going to be playing nickel.
Safety versus nickel,
But I guess he's just blown people away this spring.
I love it.
He's a kid. I mean, remember, he was originally committed to Tennessee.
He played at Tennessee his freshman year.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, this is a SEC level of player that had some issues, and now he's here. So keep an eye on him. There's a little tidbit for you.
I think if we can get anything out of our linebackers, our defense should be pretty solid next year.
I would agree with that. The linebackers are a huge question mark. Now, what's his name? Harris?
Yeah, he's struggling.
Struggle bus.
Yeah. Do you guys really take a lot out of the spring game, though?
They were touting Kane Seeley the other day at the mic.
Oh.
Over
I mean, it's,
Harris.
It's
so.
April. April, yeah, get it. Spring game, it's a chance to preview the team a little bit, but that's a long ways away from the start.
Why do you have to be a curmudgeon about football?
I love football.
Obviously, not
football
that.
Is fantastic. And to be honest with you, I'm excited for this season. I think it's going to be fun to watch. But it's the spring game. I mean, anybody walks away is like, that dude was incredible. Doesn't mean jack squat as far as what he's going to be doing in August.
You're right, but I think there's sometimes you can watch a certain player, like a defensive back, in and out of cuts as far as recovery.
See how fast he is and quick and all that. Yeah,
I like that. And some guys, their size just stands out. You know, you look at the guy and say, man, that guy looks like he belongs on the field of the Big 12. Because let's be honest, there's been a lot of times Iowa State's ran players out there where that guy doesn't look like he belongs.
I just don't love that you can't get a true gauge because you got defensive ends that are rushing the quarterback and can't hit them. So, I mean, what's happening
don't
there?
Don't watch the trenches. Like, you can't really learn anything there.
The quarterbacks are always tough because, as soon as they just touch them, they're down, which, let's be honest, you're not running by touching Joel Landing on the arm and bringing him down out of the game.
Correct.
That always bothered me about Arnaud. Arnaud looked terrible in spring games. Well, why? Because every time anyone got near him, they blew the whistle.
Yeah, that wasn't his game.
What's the verdict on the new QB? What have we been hearing?
What new QB?
Nolan?
Nolan, yeah.
They like him.
They like him a lot, but he's like 18, so.
No chance to play this year.
He shouldn't.
Clearly. Okay.
I mean, I hope not. If he's playing, that's a problem.
Well, I mean, let's be honest here too. What's his first name?
Zeb.
That's a great name.
Yeah.
That's a son of a buck name, right?
Well,
there.
Of all the news stories that were erroneous, people are going to buy into the hype of like there was the link to Alabama.
Yeah.
So people are going to think this guy is the second coming.
I don't know who put that out, but that was ridiculous. He'd been like
he got one letter from Nick Saban, and therefore he was Alabama bound.
I mean, that happens.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean you have an offer.
Yeah. No, I agree.
That was like an erroneous report from, I want to say, like Scout or 247. One of those guys had local reporter down there.
That was all Iowa State.
There was a report out of one of the recruiting services. I know this because I talked to both of the guys. I talked to Trey and Alex who work for the companies. And some guy down south put that out at one point, and then Iowa State, what they do is they pick up anything.
Yeah.
So if an Iowa State signee has been linked to anywhere, they're putting it out there because it makes their guy look better.
Yep.
And it was this report, and then it got shot down right after, but Iowa State didn't pick up on that, and they had already put out the release that said offer from Alabama.
And too late.
That's how that whole thing got started.
You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. Yeah. It's gone.
And then you had jerks like me ripping it on the radio because I knew it wasn't true.
I know you probably talked about this.
You're so negative.
I know. I hate Iowa State so much. I'm just so bad to them.
You've talked about this a lot, but Gray and I have not, and I already know your opinion. But I was not surprised. Were you surprised at all what the NCAA did with the satellite camps this year?
Yeah.
And that it was so immediate when these camps had been planned already.
I thought like last year it was kind of like a deal where, it's just Harbaugh getting publicity. Like, it's not a big deal. I was actually really surprised. I thought that I didn't think they would shut them down like that. The problem with doing this, it doesn't even hurt Harbaugh. Michigan's Michigan. You're always going to get kids on campus.
It hurts Iowa State, though.
It hurts it doesn't hurt 4 or 5-star prospects. It hurts the 2- and 3-star guys.
The Brian Peavy's of the world out of Texas.
That's who it hurts. It hurts Iowa State and it hurts Indiana. It doesn't hurt Michigan and Ohio State. And there's such a misconception out here that it doesn't matter. Like, good players are going to be seen. Well, at the upper echelon, but it's going to keep. That's a great example. Like a Brian Peavy. Like he was kind of a hidden gem. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think Iowa State found him in a satellite camp, but nonetheless, like they could have.
Let's be honest. Fans are really getting upset about this too, and the coaches are spinning this so well right now and saying this is about the student athlete. Come on, coach. Let's be honest. This is about you getting down there and finding good players. And there's nothing wrong with that.
It's about the teams in the SEC not wanting it.
Yeah, I have nothing wrong with it. But all of a sudden now they're spinning it as this is really hurting the student athletes. And fans, they're just eating it up.
You're right.
They're just eating it up.
They are spinning it, but it does hurt student athletes too. Like, there's no doubt about that.
Any chance?
You can't say it doesn't.
To the effect, it hurts Iowa State more than it hurts a student athlete. Let's just be honest about it.
I disagree.
I don't know.
I think overall it hurts because there's a lot more. There's a ton of two-star kids out there.
We know who they are.
Yeah, but can you get them on campus? That's the deal. Like, they, instead of you going to them now to build that relationship, they've got to pay.
Well, not if
to
they,
get to,
if you want it bad enough, official give them an official visit.
The problem
and they pay for it.
Is the recruiting calendar has moved up so much right now. Official visits just don't mean much. Like Iowa State, this new coaching game plan, they don't even want guys here on game weekends. Like, they want to do it. They either want to get you here on a camp early, or they want to do it after the season to that group of guys so we can bring you in to a basketball game or whatever. Like, because, like, during the season, like, it's so convoluted. They've got games going on. Iowa State's got a game to prepare for. Like, the official visit is so different than it was 15
isn't there
years
a lot of, isn't there a lot to be gained, though, by seeing what it's actually like on game day here for these players? To see, hey, look, our stands are full.
I think, but the problem is most of these kids can't come at that point.
Yeah.
That's the issue.
It depends on where they're from. Midwest, it's a lot easier for them to get here on a Saturday.
But the point of a satellite camp isn't to get a kid in the Midwest. It's to get...
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks. It sucks for Iowa State.
The kids in the Midwest can drive here. Like, it's totally different.
But I just, when these coaches are sitting back and playing this, woe is us, I mean, the student-athletes, we're not looking out for the student-athletes. I mean, they're doing it for their own reasons as far as trying to get...
No doubt. You're exactly right.
Okay.
But it does hurt the kids a lot.
A little bit, yeah.
Any chance whatsoever that because they're voting end of April that it gets overturned, or is that horse out of the barn gone?
I think there's a chance. I mean, if
the outcry gets loud enough.
I think there's a chance.
Had Iowa State spent any money to get this thing set up yet? Or, like, is the NCAA reimbursed them for doing this?
I don't know the answer. Well, the Campbell Harbaugh one got all the noise.
Yeah.
But it's like when Campbell worked at Toledo and he would go and work at an Ohio State camp or a Michigan camp. Like, the Toledo coach can't do that. That's how they recruit at that level.
Yeah.
They don't want to bring a kid on an official visit to watch their awful atmosphere at Toledo. That's not going to make a kid want to go there.
Yeah.
They've got to do that type of work in the off season.
I think you go to a place like that because you're going to play.
Yeah.
This year you're going to play here.
Like, showing them the game day atmosphere at Toledo or Akron or Central, that does you absolutely no good whatsoever.
I agree with that.
It's a very complex. I think there's a chance it gets overturned just because the NCAA is so under siege with the whole student athlete
thing. It's bad publicity for them right now.
And it's even worse publicity now that you've got all these coaches coming out and you've got Jim Harbaugh saying, why do we even call them student athletes? And
playing devil's advocate, what would be I understand the teams in the South. I get that. What would be the NCAA's position on why we can't do these camps?
Because
they have to have a position.
Yeah, because they don't want it to get out of control. They don't want these schools having 50 of these. And so here's what's going
to
happen.
So
is exactly what's going
to
happen now. Two things will happen. One, these schools are going to start paying high school coaches to hold camps for them.
Hmm.
That'll be like an extension of their staff.
Which
legally you can do.
Yeah.
And two, just watch. These schools are going to start having quote-unquote camps like every day in the off season.
Yeah.
So like if that way these kids, like, if they want to be evaluated, it's not like, well, you've got to be here June 4th through 6th for this camp. It's you get here whenever you want. We're going to make sure and have a camp going.
Essentially a pro day for a
They just
prospect.
Made one problem. A messy problem, a million times messier.
Yeah,
is what they just did.
I just don't think it was hurting anybody.
It wasn't.
So why change?
Other than Nick Saban, you even had Hugh Freeze at Ole Miss come out and say, well, basically said the reason I didn't want it to pass is because I don't want to have to work that many more hours.
They don't want to lose a competitive advantage, which I understand.
Yeah,
who would want to lose that competitive advantage? And it's a huge one. But no, it reeks of hypocrisy. That's the problem.
It's so stupid.
It's like. Like him or hate him, it's like what Grassley's doing right now in Congress.
What's going on there? I haven't even seen it.
Well, Grassley alone is responsible for Obama has nominated a Supreme Court justice.
Yes.
And it's up to Grassley whether or not this guy has a chance or not to become approved, essentially, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Grassley has said...
Is he like the head of that committee or something?
He is. Grassley has said, we refuse... to do what we're supposed to do, and we believe it's the next president that
Which
should be picking this nominee.
It's not true.
You can make that argument, whatever, because they're calling Obama a lame duck president. He's on his way out, which is also true. But there's a difference, and I'm not on Obama's side, but on this issue, you're a lame duck if you got a couple months left. Obama had more than a year left. And the argument on the other side is we elected him for 4 years, not three.
Yeah.
So, and if the situation were exactly reversed,
oh yeah,
then the positions political. Would be flipped as well.
No question.
And people see through that and they see hypocrisy and people don't like that. Mm-hmm. It's like, just say it, just say, no, we don't want to do this because it doesn't suit our own needs.
Yeah.
And at least people would appreciate that honesty.
Absolutely.
You know, so Saban should come out and say, yeah, of course we don't want these things because we like what we got going on.
Instead, Saban comes out and be like, well, I'd like to see a statistic on how many of these kids are actually committing because of – and you've seen since they banned it, multiple players and recruits come out and be like, well, the only – like
the satellite camp helped me.
Yeah, he's like, this one kid who's at Boise now, he's like, the only reason I'm here is because they were down in Southern California. Like, they would never recruit me. This one kid in Florida went to Nebraska. He's like, I had no ties to Nebraska, you know? Like, it's just
– I agree. I hope it does get changed, but we'll see. We'll see. Did you guys watch basketball last night?
Every second.
I watched it while working, but then I really tuned into the fourth quarter when I was reading about everything that was happening.
I've got two hot takes. They're probably actually not that hot, but two takes.
I'm guessing number one entails Kobe being the greatest of all time.
Kobe is not the GOAT, first of all. He's not the greatest of all time.
I call him one of the GOATs.
But it was impressive, and it wasn't Kobe's fault. I mean, his teammates were basically refusing to shoot last night. It was all Kobe or nothing. 57 shots.
50.
Was it 50?
50.
I wanted him to go to OT so he could get the 60 shots.
So 60 points, obviously, it's impressive. And what's more impressive about that is he had to hit the shots to win the game.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like they were down 20 and he was chucking.
He was incredible in the fourth quarter.
He hit some big shots for them. And so that was one. Good for Kobe. Like him or hate him, the guy played the game the right way. He tried. He gave effort, you know. He had a little bit of off-court issues there a few years back. But, you know, hey.
No idea what you're talking about.
Okay. And then hot take number two. The Warriors are insane. Watching them is like unlike anything I've ever seen. And people say, oh, Jordan was the best or whatever. Watching Chicago Bulls basketball was half as exciting as watching Golden State play basketball. You can argue they were better or Jordan was better, fine. But from the perspective of a fan and watching something that's entertaining, I don't think there's ever been a team better than Golden State. It's nice to watch a player and you're thinking, he's going to pull up from 30 feet and shoot this. He's the only player that ever does that with consistency.
And you expect him to make it.
And you expect him to make it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people are like, oh, it's all Steph Curry. They've got a good team. All of those guys can shoot threes, and they do play inside as well.
That's what makes them tough is they can spread you out and go five guys out perimeter. I'm still on the Spurs bandwagon. I would prefer Golden State to win it. But I think Spurs are the better team this year, and I think Spurs beat them in the playoffs. If the problem is here, Spurs will have to go through the Thunder first to get there. That's obviously a big advantage for Golden State because you just wonder how worn down the Spurs are. Because the Thunder, I mean, you go up against Westbrook and Durant, those are two studs. I mean, two of the top five players in the league are on the same team.
Why does the Spurs age not bother you a little bit? Obviously, they got Kawhi Leonard, who's really young, really good.
And LaMarcus Aldridge.
But they've also got Tim Duncan, Ginobili, Parker, those guys are old. I mean, that's not a good thing in the NBA.
Because Duncan, his position, he doesn't need to be the dominant low post scorer that he used to be because just the way the game has changed. Kawhi Leonard is a top three player, top five player in the league right now because if you look at it from both ends of the court, offense and defense, LaMarcus Aldridge is one of the top power forwards in the league. So they got players in. I mean, I keep going back to Popovich. I mean, the guy just knows how to coach. I think when it comes down to it, in seven games, they find a way to beat Golden State. Here's my thing. Do you think Golden State going for this record, and they clearly wanted it, hurts them in the playoffs? Because a lot of these teams, Spurs rested players a lot. Clippers rested players.
I really don't because I think they were limping there for a little while. They lost a couple games they shouldn't have lost, right?
Lakers.
They looked fatigued. They didn't look like they were in it. And I think going for this record kind of reinvigorated them a little bit. And the last few games that I've seen them play at the Spurs and then last night, they looked great. They looked like they're having fun. And again, these guys aren't old dudes.
They're young.
A lot of them are young. So if you can't get up for the playoffs, what are you doing? Yeah. So I don't think it hurts them at all. I think there's been a lot of examples in sports over the years where people do the rest thing and then they get into the playoffs and they're a little bit rusty or they don't play as well. I'm a believer of keep the same flow, same rhythm. I think rest is overrated.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting too because the Spurs are going to sweep the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are terrible with all their injuries. Gasol's out, Conley's out. So they're going to have even more rest. Because while other teams might be going six games or something, they'll be 4-done in that series.
Golden State should sweep two, though, in their first series.
I think Houston gets one just because Harden will go off of one. But I mean, they're not losing that series. I mean, they're not – Houston's not beating – Houston's been a train wreck most of the year. But it's been fun. I mean, I obviously am a huge Kobe Bryant fan. Last night was – pure joy for me. I woke up my wife at about midnight when that game was finishing, screaming because he was hitting those shots.
He scored 60.
Well, it wasn't for me. I just wanted to. I wanted to come out and have a good game.
Yeah.
And there was a part there where I was worried a little bit because it was an all-star game field for a majority of that game where all they wanted to do is get him shots, get him buckets. And if it was any other player, I probably wouldn't have enjoyed it. But as Kobe, let's be honest, for most majority of all of Kobe's career, he's been a chucker. Now, he's, in my opinion, maybe the most talented offensive scorer we've ever seen. I mean, he could just score from anywhere. But he typically is not one to pass the ball. So I didn't have a huge problem with it. But there was a point where he was shooting like 30% and just chucking until all of a sudden the fourth quarter when he got hot.
It's right, 27 or something.
And the next, you look at his stats, he shot 50 times, sure, but he shot 44%. And for a guy that's 38 years old, played as many games as him, to shoot that percentage and that many shots against a team that's a really, really good defensive team, the Jazz are really good on defense, it was incredible. It brought back a lot of good memories for me of sitting watching Kobe just take over in a fourth quarter.
And the guys that won, what, 5 championships?
5, yeah.
So he won championships 25% of the time in his career. That's pretty darn good.
That's good.
You know?
And he did it without cheating like Tom Brady. I mean, that's what's really incredible about the whole thing.
Do not talk bad about Tom Brady. Chris and I love him.
I love Tom Brady.
Do you have any take on the GOAT over there?
Did you fall asleep?
Really. No, I watched it.
No, I mean,
during that conversation.
Yeah, I thought you did. Yeah.
No, the only take I have is I'm just so sick and tired of people, the whole like, oh, the Kobe's better than Jordan. Jordan's better than Kobe. LeBron's better than all of them. The Warriors are better than the – like, it's so stupid because everybody's biased with it. Like, there's no – like you said last week, Mark, there's no way of knowing. Bulls fans are going to say Jordan's the best. Nope. Older people are generally going to side with the Bulls. Younger people are going to say, no, Steph Curry and the Warriors. It's just – like, Adam's a Lakers fan, so he's going to side with Kobe. It's like nobody has, like, a real opinion. It's all based off of, like, who you root for. That's why I'm just so tired of it.
If the trend continues, though – I think there will be a significant argument to be made. It's going to take another 5, 6, 7 years, but there will be a lot of talk about Steph Curry being one of the greatest ever.
Oh,
he needs a lot more,
You know, if he
they
got to
win
shoot,
some more championships before they're in
The previous record last year was, what, like 286 three-pointers?
He's incredible.
And he made 401 or 402.
I don't think
year.
There's any question about Steph Curry. Like, I'm more interested in like that team and that franchise and how it goes. Like that's what.
Did you?
What makes these guys like legends lose, for a long time though is being able to do it for 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, if they lose to the Spurs, like Adam's saying, like, you know,
it diminishes
that. That diminishes their 73.
Is there talk of, by the way, Durant going there? Is there talk out there? I thought
there was talk about Durant going about everywhere. Seems like
I heard him specifically linked to the Warriors. Which if they got Durant too,
well, in Chicago, that they're saying is that the Warriors let Harrison opt out. He goes to the Bulls, and
just to play a thread, games connection.
And Durant goes to the Warriors.
Dude, they would do that.
I mean, that's a
question. I mean, Harrison's a good player, but he's no
Durant.
No, you
take Durant over Harrison Barnes any day.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, it's not even a question.
You think?
But they can't afford to have them both. But that's what one media guy when I was in Chicago told me he was hearing. So we'll see.
I got problems with that a little bit. I don't blame Durant. You want to go there. You want to win.
Yeah.
But at the same time, God, I like seeing these guys compete against each other, not just team up and make these. It's almost like college football, these super PAC conferences. You're looking at super PAC teams now where all these guys want to go and play.
Remember when the Lakers did that and you thought they're going to win all the championships? They had Peyton and Malone and they got all
Peyton
these guys.
And Malone
were
like 40.
They didn't do anything, though.
Well, those guys were so old then.
Yeah. I'm just saying it doesn't always work that way. And part of me would be like, do the Warriors, if they win again this year and back-to-back, do they need Durant? You make the argument they don't need him and just keep the nucleus together as it is right now.
But I guess, I don't know. I don't really blame Durant.
I'd want to go to a winner.
How old is he now?
He's
26, 27.
Well, here's the thing.
I mean, if I'm Kevin Durant and I don't feel like I can win there, why wouldn't you want to go play with the Warriors? Like, well, if you can go there, if you can go there and get a max contract and you can play with Steph, like, I don't blame him.
So here's my thing, though.
As long as you do it, like,
they can win there. He can win there.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook's unbelievable.
They don't like each other from what I read, though. Like, it's a it's a toxic deal between those two. That's everything I've read.
Figure it out, because if those two don't win a title together, it's a shame.
Well,
because two are really, really good.
If I'm
really
the Thunder and it comes down to Durant not wanting to play with Westbrook, I trade Westbrook. Like, I get him the hell out of
sometimes
there.
Sometimes, though.
Kevin Durant's like a once-in-a-lifetime guy.
Dude, Westbrook he's a freak, man.
Well, I know, but like, if you got to have one or the other, who are you picking?
I don't know, because here's the thing. Durant's got the foot issues that he keeps.
I'd still take Durant.
I don't know if there's a right or wrong on that one. They're both. Any other year, 2 years ago, I'd have said Durant for sure, but Westbrook's probably second MVP this year behind Curry.
No, I know you're right. I'm not, but I would still like long. I would think.
I think. Yeah. I think Leonard. I think Leonard will be second.
You think so, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Bold prediction.
I think it'd be awesome.
I mean,
if somehow Harrison went to the Bulls, that'd be really cool.
The whole
watch him and Doug play together.
And then pick Boo Boo up off the D League, and you got to.
Boo Boo's too busy with a lawsuit right now.
Jeez. I don't even know why I said his name. Can we just
backtrack?
Turn the page.
Harrison's gotten a lot better on offense because I've watched a lot of games. His shot has gotten significantly better.
And it's hard for him, too, to really show that he's a superstar.
He doesn't have a superstar mentality.
I don't think
he ever will be.
Yeah, that goes back to like in high school. Like he could have scored 50 points.
But he's
a
starter in the NBA.
Yeah.
So,
and he's a really good
one. And he's about to get
for the best team of all time.
Stupid rich is what he's about to get. So,
I think it'd be. I mean, Fred needs guys like that, though, who want to play. They want to run. They want to.
Are Bulls going to do a little cleaning house this offseason?
A lot of cleaning house. I think the whole like we're
anyone
trying,
that didn't buy in.
I think we're gonna the whole like we're trying to re-sign Joakim Noah is just a big PR stint.
Yeah,
they're not trying to re-sign Joakim Noah.
Yeah,
he's the opposite of what they want.
Well, here's the thing. Powell's gone too, and Powell actually doesn't seem like he's a bad fit for what Fred wants to do.
No, he's old.
He can't get up and down.
Dude,
as much,
like
but.
I've been to two of their games this year. Like when you watch that team warm up. And even just like they're so like old and stiff, like they can't even run up and down the floor.
Yeah,
they either need to get Butler to buy into moving the ball,
they need
not sticking, or get rid of him.
I'm fine with trading him.
Okay, like, I've been saying this all year. People think I'm crazy.
I don't think you're crazy at all.
Because he what's
not
Fred,
working.
What Fred wants to do on offense, he doesn't do it.
No, and when he neutered Fred and did the whole leadership thing, well, that's fine. If you want to say that, fine. However, there have been multiple reports of like team meetings and whatnot where Derek freaking Rose, and we don't know our opinion on him. We're both on the same page. And Butler are sitting in the back not saying a word. If you're a true leader, you step up and do something. And that, you know, when he stepped up and threw Fred under the bus, like, I'm fine with that if you're going to be consistent with it and if you're actually going to be a leader. Well, like, the most nauseating thing to me are dudes who talk about leadership all the time, because at some point you're really not a leader if you have to talk about it 24/7. And that's Butler to me. Trade his ass. I don't care.
I always loved it after he said that about Fred, and then he goes, well, you know, my whole life I've never been the leader of a team before. High school, college, this is the first year. It's showing, Jimmy.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're still not a leader.
Yeah, pretty evident.
If I'm then, just clean, see what you can get for him, man.
Like, Derrick Rose.
I saw the Celtics or somebody offered him, like, two first-round picks and a reserve, but they didn't say who the reserve was.
Well, and they have the Celtics will have a top three pick this year from Brooklyn, I think.
So, I mean, to me, that'd be worth it, but just get rid of him.
You got to get rid of Derrick Rose, too.
I don't know how.
He's only got 1 year left. Maybe some team will just take that contract for 1 year. I don't know.
I saw that they were talking to Philly about him.
Did you read some of his quotes towards the end of the year?
He's horrible.
I mean,
he's a freaking joke.
How he doesn't get killed more for his comments are unbelievable to me. You know, I don't feel like playing. I think we still have a chance at the playoffs, so, you know.
Talent.
That whole team,
that's
man.
Why.
Do you remember their media day?
Oh, my God.
I felt so bad for Fred on media day. Like, he hadn't even coached a damn game. You got Mike Dunleavy, who, like, doctors are like, 4 to 6 weeks. And Dunleavy's whole press conference is, it's probably going to be 8 to 10, you know, because I'm a slow. Like, he didn't even want to play. And then you got Derek Rose giving us the crap of, well, you know, I got to worry about feeding my kids and all this bull crap.
Now, life after basketball.
Yeah.
Plus,
jeez.
He said after when they were going to miss the playoffs, he goes, well, it's be nice. I'll get to spend more time with my kids.
You just don't
say that.
Any professional athlete should have learned from Sprewell that when you make millions of dollars a year, you can't use the feeding my family argument. That falls flat
especially
on everybody.
You know, well, like anywhere, but in Chicago, man, there's a lot of poor people.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of who are your fans who, you know, you give them $100 and they could make that last a month. And you're bitching about – Jeez. What a disaster.
He only made 18 runs.
You know what?
And Fred wasn't perfect. You know, I'm sure Fred learned a lot. And he was thrown into an awful situation.
But here's he took the job, and he should not have taken it. He should have taken the Timberwolves job. I've said it all along.
No, you may be onto something. But Fred's deal, I mean,
Bowles was a lot more prominent job, though.
Fred's deal, like, Fred wanted to go somewhere where free agents were interested in going.
I don't think that's as big of a deal anymore, though.
No, you're not.
The world's gotten smaller because of all the...
Because of social media.
Yes.
I completely agree with you. However, I do know that that was a big deal to him. Like, Knicks, Lakers, Bulls.
Yeah.
I don't... Mavs, maybe. I don't know.
Would you not have taken the Thunder job if you could have coached Westbrook and Durant?
Sure.
I think you would have taken that job.
It would have been a really good job for Fred, still in the Midwest.
The Bulls are the opposite of the Warriors, though. Part of the reason I like the Warriors is that they're having fun out there, and they play like a team.
And that's why you
they
need
pass,
to get rid of
and the Bulls don't.
That's why you need to trim the fat and get rid of those guys. They don't want to be there. Then
I mean, if you hired Fred,
them.
You got to give him the team that he wants, so they have to go get it this offseason. So Fred will be a lot better next year.
Yeah, but
year.
You can't. He's not going to be able to turn it around and build it up next year. If they skim it, I mean, they're going to suck again next year. It's going to take a while for them to...
Yeah, but sucking, I mean, you can make the argument they sucked this year and they almost made the playoffs. So at least you can improve a little and make the playoffs.
I don't think they can. I don't think they can improve if they do a complete turnaround, which we're saying here, and getting rid of Jimmy Butler. Next year, they can't be better.
You can't be better, but there can be a different feel to the season.
Sure.
Like right now, it's like we suck and there's no hope.
Players that want to play.
Like if next year, it's like we suck, but we're getting better and they're fun to watch and these guys are... like smiling when they're out there, like to fans, that's a different world. And I'm a Bulls fan, so I'm like when I watched that team, like I was even like the Vikings this year, like I was proud of that team. Like I was proud to wear a Viking shirt because it's like those guys play their asses off. They're getting better. Like I'm excited about the future of the franchise. When I went to Bulls games this year, I'm like Jesus. Like why did I just spend $30 on that hat? Like that's what I would think. Like the only pride I had is that Fred Hoiberg and Doug McDermott were there. That was it.
Chris was sitting there thinking, why did I accept these free tickets from the coach of the Bulls? I'm such an idiot.
Allegedly.
Yeah, of course. Allegedly.
So. No, and I saw like Ryan's door, like they all talked, Garpax, Fred, like everybody last night. Fred is not blameless. Like you're the head coach. If you take a team that was, were they the one seed last year? Two or three?
They were the three.
Yeah, and you don't make the like. There's got to be some fingers pointed at Fred, no question.
They had a lot of injuries too.
God, they had so many injuries. There's a couple of cancers on that team.
Let's be honest. Chicago sports fans and Chicago media are terrible, and they're pretty stupid. I mean, let's be honest, they're not very intelligent.
No, they're idiots.
They're not. I'm just saying that.
I think that the Chicago media is awful. I read their columns all the time. It's bad.
I mean, they had, I think he said maybe 4 or 5 games all year where he had a starting five together.
The first one that he had the same starting lineup was when we were in Chicago that Wednesday night. That was the first time they were all healthy again.
And that lasted for what, a game or two?
Yeah.
And part of that goes back to age.
Yeah, they're all old, sure. Stiff. And yeah. The jackass running the elevator at the Sweet 16.
I know, you tell, yeah.
Yeah, every time we got in there, he'd be like, hey, you from Iowa State? We'll give you your coach back. He was saying that to everybody. It's like, you know, whatever.
So take that on stage.
And really, at the end of the day, did they really do anything with me and you both think Tibbs is a great coach.
Oh, he's an elite coach.
Elite coach, right? But did they do anything with him?
No.
I mean, right? It's all about getting to the championship, is it not?
Yeah, and I think this year, I mean, if Tibbs is there, maybe they're like a 5 seed.
Yeah, they're not doing anything.
No, and the reason they're all old and beat up is because the way Tibbs coached them for the last 5 years.
Like, and because they're old.
Yeah, and he just beat the hell out of them, though. I mean, that's why guys don't like playing for him.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. And you went from one extreme to another, and it's probably too big of a change in too little time.
Sure.
I don't know. All right. Any quick takes on anything else before we wrap this up?
I just, you know, I think we hit on it. Charter hit on it, that the comparing generations and eras and stuff is getting so annoying. And this is why I think about a year ago I said the most overrated player in basketball history is Michael Jordan. And I think Michael Jordan's one of the best players. But people think that you have to say he is the best. Well, how do we – I mean, couldn't Will Chamberlain have been the best? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Oscar Robertson? There are like 6 different guys, different generations that you could say is the best basketball player. But people have to – it's – there's no gray area for people when they're arguing this. It's always black and white.
You can't prove an opinion.
I truly think that we had the argument about Brady and Favre.
Yeah.
I think it's very similar. Like, your whole deal is different eras. You can't compare – and I agree with you.
Because quarterbacks got hit back then.
And I saw you you got into a Twitter bar with somebody last night about the similar deal, and I completely agree with, like, it is different.
I was pretty much just trolling Chicago Bulls lovers with my take on it.
I didn't take the bait.
Why do you love trolling, dude?
Well, I'm so tired of, like, and you'd be proud of me, Mark, and you contributed to our show, where, like, I told Ross earlier in the week, I'm like, we're not doing the Bulls-Warriors debate.
Yeah.
I refuse to go lowest common denominator sports talk.
Well, the only reason it's really done is because you're filling time.
No question.
That's why it's done.
And I don't, like, here's the deal. Like, I let you guys rant for 10 minutes on the NBA. I'm not going to jump in on that because I don't watch it that much.
Yeah.
Like, I will this time of year.
The playoffs.
Yeah, I'll watch the playoffs. But, like, I can't sit here. I haven't watched a freaking Spurs game this year. I've seen bits and pieces of them, but I haven't sat and watched the San Antonio Spurs. I've seen probably 50 Bulls games, so that's why I feel like I can talk about
Chris
it.
Chris is one of those guys that places bets and then just doesn't watch the
games.
Dude, I wanted to bet Warriors last night because I'm like, they're so locked in. There's no way.
I allegedly did.
Dude,
minus 17.5.
Yeah, 17.5 scared me off.
Well, it helped that the Grizzlies were on a back to back and got trashed the night before too.
Yeah,
and that certainly helped. They didn't have any money.
I wanted to do Lakers money line too, but I was also I was watching the whole, like, video montage before.
Yeah.
And I think I tweeted this too. It reminded me of George Niang crying before the senior day game even started. I'm like, this could go one of two ways here.
Well, it started back too.
And I think it started going the way I thought it was going to, so I didn't touch it.
I couldn't believe the Spurs won last night. They sat everybody, and they still won. You know, they were 8-point dogs, seven, I don't know.
Dallas?
Dallas, the Mavericks, yeah. And, you know, nothing to play for. I get that too, but it's like the Spurs sat everybody. And they still won.
Pop, man.
In Dallas.
Guys, we've talked sports like 95% of this podcast.
I love it. Jeez. This has been the best podcast we've ever done.
Next week, the offseason's officially here because spring football will be over with.
We apologize for talking sports. Tune in next week where we'll talk about anything but
boobies.
We'll talk about boobies.
So, spring game. We have the tailgate.
Yes, we have the tailgate. 10:30 start time.
10:30 C6, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, we have to go to the far north lot of C6 because Iowa State doesn't want us near the stadium.
Far north.
Yeah, as far north as we can go in C6.
They don't want you near the stadium.
Wow.
I'm not going to get into specifics, but that's the truth.
Thanks, Iowa State. But, yeah, so Buffalo Wild Wings will be there passing out free wings to anybody that comes.
While supplies last.
Bring a tailgate game. Bring some booze.
Bring a bib.
I can't drink it, but it'll be fun.
I'm not going to drink either. I got to work.
And if you go
I'm
to
pack and water.
If you go to Sias House of Trivia on Saturday night, come up and ask Chris for
no, don't do that. Mark, this is why I don't like taking you places.
Come on, man. It entertains
me.
So how pissed off are you that Iowa State doesn't make you one of their celebrities?
I don't care. I'd rather not be.
Bloom's been, and you haven't.
That's a slight.
That's got to hurt.
I would much rather sit by a charter and drink Bud Lights all night.
You're pissed. Don't try to downplay
it. It's directly tied to his hatred of smoke on the water, throwing him under the bus. Said we are never making this guy a celebrity.
Honestly, you
called women's basketball games this year.
You know how uncomfortable I get when, like, just like to me, like, that's a nightmare going from table to table with strangers. Like, it's an anxiety thing for me. Like, it's not that I don't love, like, Cyclone fans.
I can see where you're coming from.
It really makes me uncomfortable.
You have beer. Beer takes away the anxiety a little bit.
Yes,
it does.
It's not a like, I'm too good to talk. It's like I get
plus
nervous.
People judge you. Because last year when we were there with my wife, she's like, Ed Wilson's drunk. You know, people are like watching everything.
Why would your wife care?
Yeah.
She didn't care. She was surprised, I think.
Why are you throwing Ed under the bus right now?
Hey, Ed was in public drinking, so, you know, that's not a secret. Anybody there could tell Ed had had a few. And that's fine. That's what you do at that event.
Hey, you got your foursome for the golf outing yet?
Adam's getting all of his plugs in now. I love it.
I do not. I do
that
not.
Was a smooth
have,
transition
I,
right
I
there.
I do not, but we're working on that.
You are working on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got some ring.
How are old sponsorships going?
They're going all right. All right. Is Charter House going to – I see a couple here, people here that might be able to – be outside on a nice, beautiful day in May with the Charter House.
Is that the window cling guy?
No golfers, though.
Well, that's why they don't need to golf. They can sit there, the whole sponsorship. They can pass out some Charter House
information. What about the window cling guy? Can we get the window cling guy to sponsor?
Look at the phenomenal job he did there.
Sarah's probably hating this. She says she hates sports. So She says I talk too much sports.
She's a UFC girl. How can a UFC girl?
This is the first time I've ever seen Sarah sit down.
Yeah, Sarah moves a lot. And Sarah hates pool, by the way. We have this beautiful pool table here in our office.
The Charter House office.
And I had Sarah shoot the other day. And she takes this position like I said the other day that she thought the table was covered in Zika virus. Like, she goes way far away from it. She like puts her body at a weird angle.
Is the Zika virus the thing that like you can't go to Florida if you're pregnant?
Yeah. Yeah, it's mosquito bites and it like turns your brain to mush.
We're going to Florida in June. And my wife gave me specific instructions that I could not knock her up before, otherwise vacation would be canceled.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
So does that mean no freak a leak
in? I'm not
or?
Getting into any of that, but I'm just saying, like, this is what I know about the Zika virus.
Yeah. So I don't know. We have some weird rivalries happening here. We got lovely Amy. She's watching over there. See, here's the deal, though.
Amy's
go on our
really
website. If you want to know what Amy and Sarah look like, go on our website, charterhouseiowa.com. I think Sarah, is your picture on our website, by the way?
I think it is. Amy's really the gem of Charterhouse. That's what I've been able to gather.
Amy is the cog that drives us around here. Amy kicks ass. And Sarah's new. We'll face facts. Sarah's brand new. But the reality is, it's like, for whatever reason, Amy's been with me more than a year, and I've never once given Amy a hug. You know, and I'm a hugger, but I just haven't because her husband works for me, and I just didn't want to go there.
But you hug her husband quite a bit.
And Sarah comes in right away, and I gave her a hug. So I got to give Amy hugs, too, to square things with everybody.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's just the way it is. We're friendly around here.
Who runs the HR department here at the Charterhouse?
Nick runs HR.
Nick's the ass kicker here at Charterhouse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I probably hugged Nick in Vegas before, so I don't know. But
when he was visiting you in your room as you were just sitting there?
And you tapped his balls.
Shut it.
All right, we got to go. Thanks for listening, everybody.